Here's a song born out of decades of plane flights. It's actually really a snapshot of the big picture of our journey. It's called Arriving to Depart. This life is like that airport sign. Decide right from the start. Are you departing to arrive or arriving to depart? Our journey should be savored just like honey from the hive. We're arriving to depart, but we're departing to arrive. Tethered to the blind guide of our will, feels like pushing jello up a hill. Our days on earth and all their worth should be treasured like an art. We're departing to arrive, we've arrived here to depart. We're straddling the crossroads with this nagging question mark. Have we departed to arrive, or arrived just to depart? We whistle past the graveyard, never sure why we're alive. We're arriving to depart, we're departing to arrive. Helpless to resist the tide of time, circumstances turning on a dime. We're quickly getting nowhere with the horse behind the cart. We've departed to arrive, we've arrived here to depart. Happiness just toys with us. It comes and goes and leaves us wanting more. It's a flimsy imitation of the godly joy our souls are starving for. So be wary, all you pilgrims of the devil's deadly darts. He departed to arrive. He arrives soon to depart. He's the master of disaster. He's the prince of shock and jive. He arrived here to depart. He'll depart and not arrive. His poker game is running out of cards. He'll soon be hoisted by his own petard. That's French. You can look that up. He's clever and he's cunning, but that never made him smart. He departed to arrive, he arrived soon to depart. Now God came down from glory to offer up his heart. He departed to arrive, he arrived soon to depart. His holy hands have helped me. They're the reason I survive. I've arrived soon to depart. I'll be departing to arrive. I've arrived here to depart, but I'm departing to arrive. Thank you. See you in a little while.
I want to share a little bit with you this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, I want to read a few verses to you. Starting at verse 10, it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." So we see those words, take your stand your ground, and then the very last word that I read to you, stand. The key word today is stand. How many of you got a smartwatch? Yeah. It tells me when it's time to stand. Does your watch do that? It'll buzz, and I'll look at it, and it's like, time to stand. Okay. Every now and then, I fool it, and I'll go on a walk, and it'll vibrate, and it goes, hey, it looks like you're exercising. It's like surprised. But that's what I want to tell you this morning. Church, it is time to stand. It is time for the body of Christ to take their stand their ground, and to stand. And I think we find a good example of this. I want to go to Daniel, and in the first three chapters, there's a story in each chapter, 1, 2, and 3, that is very good for us to learn from this morning. Let me give you a little background. 605 BC, the Babylonians, led by a guy named Nebuchadnezzar, conquered the city of Jerusalem, and they take the spoils, and among the spoils, they also take the most prominent and educated men of the Jews back to Babylon with him. And among those men are four teenagers, one by the name of Daniel, another, Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah. You know them better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But those names were changed, and they were given new names when they were in Babylon. They were there for 3 years. They were trained the Babylonian arts, literature, and culture. And the goal is total indoctrination. The goal is to change their identity, forget who they were, and become who they are to become, and that is a Babylonian. They're 1,500 miles away from family, away from anything familiar, and yet they make a stand for God. And I want to talk to you just a little bit about that, because we live in a world, a culture right now that's a whole lot like Babylon, trying to get us to identify with them and to forget who we are. Church, we can't forget who we are. It is time for us to stand. So in chapter 1, we find the story of the food. Daniel, the Bible says he had purposed in his heart, because they're captive again. They're captive, Daniel and the three guys. And Daniel had purposed in his heart. Now, purposed in his heart, that's more than making up your mind. This is deeper. He had purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And so when it was time to eat, Daniel and the three got permission to eat their own food and not to eat the king's food. And the test was this: let us eat our own food and then test us 10 days from now and see if we aren't healthier than the others. And so they did. And then 10 days later, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier, better nourished than all the other young men who had eaten the food assigned by the king. Also, the Bible says that God gave them wisdom 10 times greater than the other wise men. A short little point here. Whatever convictions God has given you, you need to honor those convictions. That's what Daniel and his three friends did. They honored those convictions, and because they honored those convictions, favor and blessing came their direction. And so here's the first of 3 points. Talking about stand. This is the first one. They stood out. Daniel and his three friends, they stood out. See, it's easy to be loud in the crowd. It's easy to go along to get along. It's easy to blend in. It's easy to do what everybody else is doing. But we have to stand alone sometimes. And they stood out. And when I say they stood out, they didn't stand out in a weird way. They stood out by conviction. And can I just tell you, it doesn't take a whole lot to stand out today as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus. If you'll just be normal, you'll stand out. If you'll just not become woke, you'll stand out. See, I'm not telling you on this first point, I'm not telling you that you need to go and you need to stand out. I'm telling you that if you follow Jesus, we live in a day you're going to stand out. It's part of the deal. It's just going to happen. You're going to stand out because of your faith. So we find that in the first chapter. They stood out. In the second chapter, we find the dream. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. It's a troubling dream. And he calls all the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, all the wise people. He tells them to come. And he wants the interpretation to his dream. But the thing is, he doesn't just want the interpretation. He wants them to tell them the dream first. Tell me what I dreamed, and then give me the interpretation. Now, that made it just a little bit challenging. Any one of us could take a stab at interpreting a dream, right? Tell me what you dreamed, and I'll make something up. No, you got to tell me what I dreamed and then give me the interpretation. Well, nobody can do it. And the king becomes angry. And they're killing different people. And they get to Daniel. And Daniel, wise, says, calmly, just give us a little bit of time and I will give you your dream and the interpretation. And the king gives them the night. And Daniel calls his three friends together, and the four of them pray all night long, asking God for mercy and for revelation of the dream and interpretation of the dream. And God answers and gives Daniel a vision of the dream. Here's the second stand. They stood together. They stood out and they stood together. They stood together in prayer. They were united. Let me just tell you something. If you're going to survive this journey of faith, you're going to need God's word. You're going to need God's spirit. And you're going to need a God friend. You're going to need somebody that loves Jesus to stand with you and to pray with you and to journey with you. You know, doing this thing alone is not recommended. Now, the attitude should be, though none go with me, still I will follow. That's the attitude, but nobody wants to go by themselves. Paul had Silas. David had Jonathan. Joshua had Caleb. Batman had Robin. Beavis had a guy. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. You need somebody. When you partner with someone, you're doing yourself a favor. Ecclesiastes tells us that two are better than one. Jesus sent his disciples out in twos. Iron sharpens iron. And we're going to need each other more as the days that are coming get closer to us. Hebrews tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, even more so as you see the day approaching. And I don't know what you see, but I see troubling days approaching. And we're going to need people of like-mindedness. We're going to need people of similar faith, people that love Jesus. We're going to need the strength that we find in standing together. So, yes, they stood out. They held to their convictions. They stood out, but then they also stood together. Church, we need to stand together. We're part of the same team. And then we go to chapter 3. And we find the story that most of you are familiar with. Nebuchadnezzar, just a little bit stuck on himself, has a statue built of himself. It's 90 foot tall. It's 9 feet wide. It's plated in gold. And all the dignitaries are told to come. There's going to be opening ceremonies, and everybody is going to bow down to this huge idol. Now, I don't know exactly how many were there. One of the commentaries I read said 2 million. That's a lot of people. And so the rule is that whenever the music starts playing, everybody bows down and worships the idol. See, the rule we like, it's not really a rule. Maybe it should be when we gather on Sunday mornings. When you hear the music, praise the Lord. We can't make you do that, though. But in this case, it's when you hear the music, praise the statue. Worship Nebuchadnezzar's idol. And then the music started. And however many people were there, we'll just go with X. X amount of people were there. And everybody bowed except for three. X minus three bowed down. Well, somebody noticed that the three didn't bow. And they ratted them out. Nebuchadnezzar has them called to the office. And they come in. He says, I understand you didn't bow. He said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you one more shot. When you hear the music, you need to bow down. And they let Nebuchadnezzar know, you can do what you want to do. We're never going to serve your gods or worship your idol. And you know the rest of the story. They didn't bow, they didn't burn. God made them fireproof. But there was one thing that burned. The restraints that held them burned. And they were set free. And you know the story of the fourth man in the fire. So here's the third stand. They stood up. When everybody else bowed down, they stood up. They stood out, they stood together, and they stood up. Church, it is time for us to stand. Stand out, live by your convictions. Stand together, be unified, forgive one another, restore, and get into relationship. And then stand up and don't fall prey to the world's ways. Here's a subpoint for this one. The world invites you to sing its song. In chapter 3, verse 5, it says this, when you hear the sound, then you bow. I want you to know the world has a sound. The world has a song. And it's encouraging you to sing along and telling you to bow down. I've told you this many times, church. The world is on fire. It's going dark. It's going crazy. And they want you to think that you're out of sync. I want you to know you're the normal one. All right? If you're holding to God's truth, you're the normal one. One other thing stood out to me in this passage when they were talking to Nebuchadnezzar and said, we're not going to bow. They said this, there is no need for us to defend ourselves in this matter. We don't have to explain it. We're going to serve God. I want you to know you don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to explain everything. Just serve the Lord God. You don't have to have all the answers. You're going to run into people. So you serve God? Yeah. Well, what about this? And how come that? And you're going to go like, I don't know. You're not going to have all the answers, and you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to explain yourself. You just serve God. There's an old saying, been around for many years. It says, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And church, I'm telling you, if we don't stand for truth, we're going to swallow and fall for the lies that are being fed to us. You're going to start believing crazy stuff like men can have babies. You're going to start believing that boys can become girls and girls become boys. We live in a world that believes this stuff. You're going to start believing crazy things like all gods are created equal. No, there is one that is greater than. You're going to start believing that Jewish people are evil and should be eliminated. I bring that up. I want to close this here. But I am just, it's incredible, unbelievable that the anti-Semitism is on the rise in our country again. It's amazing to me, this ancient and dark evil from the past is rising in our nation. I don't have time to elaborate, but if you're not paying attention, church, you need to watch. Like my watch told me this morning, it's time to stand. You're going to have to stand with Israel. We stand with Israel. You're going to have to stand with truth. You're going to have to stand with righteousness. Church, we got to stand. You don't need to hang your head. You serve the one true God. You're on the winning side. Stand for truth. Stand out. Stand together and stand up and live your life for the glory of God. You know, Randy is going to come now and going to give a few more songs to you, but I requested this one song. Of all the songs today, I only requested one, and it's the one he's going to sing now. And I requested it because as I was going through this, this particular song of his was just on my heart. And I want him to sing it. It was kind of the encapsulating. It's the final point of the message, but my throat's a little raspy, so I'm going to let him sing it instead of me. But here's what I'd like you to do. Why don't we stand together, and I'm going to pray, and then Randy's going to come back and take it. Time to stand. For those of you that have the smartwatch, and that thing reminds you, it's time to stand. Every time you look at that and you see it, time to stand. I want that to be a reminder to you. Church, it is time for us to stand. Would you bow with me? Father God, in Jesus' name we pray. Lord, we pray that we would have the boldness we need in the day in which we find ourselves. Lord, like Daniel and like his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God, that we would have the strength of conviction to live our lives in the face of adversity. Father, that we would stand up and honor you when the world is telling us to bow down. Father, give us a spirit of boldness in this day. And may we be an example to those around us. Lord, when they didn't bow and they were cast into the fire, you joined them in the middle of the heat. And Father, may we have that same company of your presence in the middle of our battles. Lord, I pray for the church that we rise up and stand for truth and righteousness in this hour. In Jesus' name.
A garden of roses. Today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.